How's everyone doing? My name is Annie. This is the Sports Medicine Broadcast, and we will be chatting with a couple of state presidents here and talking about how to get involved through committees and kind of what that can do for you. So, again, my name is Annie Nalepa. I'm on the Young Professionals Committee. We have Scott Arsenault, president of Louisiana, and then we have Kimbra Mathis, president of the Arkansas Committee. So if you guys want to start, kind of talk about how you got to where you are and being on the committee and kind of what that means to you.
Oh, I get to go first.
Ladies first.
Oh, thanks. Okay, so I'm actually the president of the Arkansas Athletic Trainers Association. And so I did get started in committees. A long time ago, there was a committee called the Women in Athletic Training. And I started in Oklahoma with that committee, with District 5. And I loved being a part of something bigger than myself, more than anything. And as all good things, that did come to an end. It evolved into, I believe it's life balancing. And then I moved into Arkansas, and I continued to work, but I got involved in the secondary school committee. And it wasn't too long after that I found my niche, and that is with education. I absolutely love it. There were a lot of things that kind of led me to this. My husband actually deployed while we were in Oklahoma. So when I moved to Arkansas, I had to find a new way to stay involved. I had a six-month-old, and so I started writing curriculum. And I wrote the program for Arkansas so that Arkansas schools could have athletic training programs in high schools. At that point, that changed everything for me. I've been teaching in a high school ever since, and being a member of the secondary school committee, I got involved in the national level. So the NATA, SSATC, that was best committee ever. Changed my life truly. And then after that, I needed something else to do. So that's when I started looking at the presidency for AATA.
Scott, if you want to kind of talk about your story a little bit.
Well, Kimber and I are kind of kindred souls and kindred spirits because we kind of followed the same path. I got started to be involved, to get involved in a profession that you can't sit on the sideline. You could really have direct your own path in this profession. And the way to do that is to be involved at your local level, your state level, your district level, national level. And, you know, if you really want to truly make this a very rewarding experience, is to be involved. Because I think everything that I have professionally that I'm extremely proud of is because my involvement, that's something I was doing at my school and that I wanted to make my district better, then how can I make my state better and do that? And that's really kind of what happened. Kendra and I's paths are very similar. I'm a high school athletic trainer for 23 years. We started teaching a sports medicine class as a locally initiated elective, which caught on. And then we were able to put together a work group in our state that wrote the state curriculum. We were very, very active in the, we actually started the secondary school committee as a task force because we saw a need in our state to be able to address that we were getting more and more high school athletic trainers. When I started in 1995, there was only 7 teacher athletic trainers in the state of Louisiana. And the big hurdle was to get the curriculum. And so because of our involvement, then that had to start somewhere. And so once it started with our state association and that worked, and some of the things we're really proud of is just like a lot of the initiatives that Arkansas has had, it just takes that one person to try to find that group, to get a group of people, and then that group continues to grow. And that's what happens. And then, you know, some neat things that we've been a part of in our state and our committee, I'm extremely proud of because we got some great athletic trainers in the state of Louisiana. And I think when you look at our high school athletic trainers, we've had some neat initiatives. One was the Safe Sports School Award, which originally started on a cocktail napkin at a LATA event that we started and talking about, wouldn't it be neat to be able to identify schools that are doing things right. It was originally called the Louisiana Blue Ribbon School, and it was basically based off the position improvement guide that the secondary school committee did in the national, and we did that. And then because of Ronnie Harper, him and I are friends, we work in the same district. Ronnie was on the national committee. It got that happen, and he was able to bring it up. People said, hey, man, this is a great idea. Safe Sports School was born. The next thing, the Atlas Project, what we're doing now, that was a thing we were doing in our committee to identify where all our athletic trainers were in our high schools, and it was called ZMAPS in Louisiana. Once again, we brought that up. And so we have a few other things we're not going to unveil just yet, that we have some next great little projects, but I think these are good. But it just goes back to what Kendra's talking about, is that you get involved in these in at a local level, then you keep working. So through that process, that allowed me that when the opportunity arose in our state for somebody to become a cheerleader and become the president, because that's what you're doing. You're promoting the profession. And I said, man, you know, I've been a part of some really cool stuff. And so I don't think there, I told when this opportunity came, I said, man, you know what? I really want to be able to go and work and do this and go tell people the great things about our profession, great things that are going on in our state of Louisiana. And that's how I got there. And so, you know, if you truly love what you're doing in this profession and you want to move it forward, it takes involvement. And you have to get involved. Don't you agree, Kendra?
Absolutely. In fact, I would say, for me, it was my passion that led me to where I am. In no way did I start out to be a queen bee. I started out to be a worker bee. That's really what I wanted to do, and I wanted to help out. And for me, it evolved out of that sports medicine curriculum for Arkansas. I saw a place where, one, I missed being in it, because when my husband deployed, I had a six-month-old. I couldn't do that. But I missed it so much. So for me, I found a way to stay involved. It was a little bit non-traditional at the time, but it worked. And luckily the state bought it. The Arkansas Department of Career and Technical Education bought into it, and they picked it up as an actual program. That was kind of an accident. I had no idea where that would take me. I had no idea where I would end up. So for me, I just jumped in head first with what I was passionate about. And then I woke up one day and here I am. So
I'm on the Southwest Athletic Trainers Association Young Professionals Committee, and I kind of stumbled across that as well. I had someone on the committee when I was in grad school come talk to us, and so 3 or 4 years ago, I said, this is pretty cool. Same thing, an interest that sparked more, and I went and talked to her, and now 4 years later, I'm on the Young Professionals Committee. We've also rolled out some initiatives as far as reaching out to college educational programs and teaching them about what young professionals can do to both get involved and just hit the ground running and be successful in the field of athletic training. We're losing a lot of athletic trainers in that young professional age group. So what can we do to teach them and help them be prepared moving forward so that our profession can grow and get those people involved and inspired and get them involved on the committee level as well? So yeah, well, that makes a good point.
You know, one of the things that we coined and something I truly believe in is that we got to carry our own flag. And that's, if we don't promote our profession, and we're not identifying those young professionals that want to be involved, and they're just seeing, might not necessarily know how to do that. That, you know, our profession has changed a bunch. The dynamics changed. The demographic changes at times. Jim was up here. And, you know, I'm like, I've been an old guy too. I've been there a long time. And, you know, we had a lot of mentorship in when I came through this profession. And we've kind of lost that to some degree, because when you teach, I teach at a high school, you know, you're as a teacher, you become a kind of a mentor, but it's kind of from that educational process. When you work as an athletic trainer in the training room, now you're mentoring the students that work with you. You're impacting the athletes' lives. So somewhere there, it seemed that a little gap might have developed. So now we go about and trying to really develop in that track and let those young professionals know how to get involved. But more or less, it's about promoting your profession and promoting, and by doing that and carrying your own flag, promoting it, people then start saying, hey, well, I need to hear more about this, because by nature, we're behind the scenes folks. Mm-hmm. We don't want the limelight. But in certain points, if we want to, from a professional standpoint, we have to be able to do that. And that's how you attract people. People get attracted to energy,
absolutely,
to that positivity, mm-hmm, to, you know, that passion. That's what they want. And I think, you know, so as a state leader, I think that's what's really, really important. And so, you know, and what's really cool is, like Kendra talked about it, because I've heard her speak on several occasions and what they've done in Arkansas over the last few years. But that goes because you have people that have lined up, not just waiting, they're making it happen. But people get attracted to that, say, I want to know a little bit more about that. And it's how you impact people, too. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important part also.
The other thing I would add is, I think as athletic trainers, we are really good fixers. And when we see needs, we're really good at fixing that. And I would just extend that that's, for me, a lot of the – this is how a lot of it happens. I saw a need in Arkansas, not just for the education piece, but I started looking at our universities in Arkansas, and a good portion of the students enrolled were not from Arkansas. And it's because we weren't developing ourselves at that secondary level to produce kids that were good candidates to go into those programs. So I know for me, I did that, but the prompting was because I needed a change. And I fear that you lose a lot of young professionals, because when they do get a little older and they have families and their life changes a little bit, they feel like they just have to drop out and do something different because this doesn't work for them anymore. And I would lend that sometimes you have to make it work for you. And that's what I did. I just, it's not what I was used to, but it was a way that I could fulfill a need and stay in the profession. And at the same time, it just changed into something totally new. So it was, you know, you kind of have to be open to new things. Just
Absolutely.
Be a little flexible, because there's no better profession out there, in my personal opinion, than an athletic training field. I mean, think about it. In what other profession can you start in one spot and without getting a degree, go completely 180 degrees the other direction if you so choose?
Right.
So, you know, for families, it really can be one of the best professions for that reason. We just need people to see that sometimes you just have to look outside of your box.
Yeah, I think the opportunities are endless, really. I mean, there's so many doors that open, and through meeting people, coming to conventions and all that, and networking, and you can meet so many people that give you an idea of using your athletic training skills and degrees and what you know what to do and what's in your tool belt to maybe go down a different avenue to find something that does fit the bill of your lifestyle and let you kind of carry your own flag and let you be proud of the past we have and the education we have without staying in the narrow niche of you have to have this lifestyle and this job description. And so I think definitely talking to more people and having those ideas, just the more you know. So
absolutely.
Well, and I think everybody would agree with this. You know, NATA is coming out with the AT Cares program, and mm-hmm. I think it's a great program.
Absolutely.
That's another thing. You know, I talk about that carry your own flag, that promotional aspect of it. You know, carry your flag about as a profession, just how you do in the profession, how much passion, how much care do you have, the care that you're giving. I think those are important things. But it's also what we do for each other is really important. I think when you talk about young professionals, it's about seeing that we take care of each other. That was very evident this past year for us in Louisiana. And when we had the floods, we had over 12 athletic trainers were affected, four high schools within a very small area that we have a good consistency and a you know, good, what's the word I'm looking for as far as
community kind of.
Yeah. And, you know, it's really where we have a lot of our athletic trainers at in that area. And just because outside the Baton Rouge and this got me thrown now, but anyhow, so as we went, it's that the community, the camaraderie that we have in that area. But once we flooded, you know, if it wasn't for the athletic trainers taking care of each other, not so much about the school part, about losing homes, how's your family impacted, mm-hmm. your school, everything, your church, your daycare, everything was impacted. But it was athletic trainers that really came together to really help each other through that. And, you know, that should be a consistent thing, no matter if it involves a tragedy. That's a day-to-day thing. And if we're not doing that and we're not reaching out, because even doing this is a long time, I still need that guy to come by, because mm-hmm. I got bad days and good days. Jim will tell you that. You know, you come through that. We all do, you know, sometimes we're not immune to those things. But when you talk about state leadership, you talk about young professionals, you talk about these things, it really boils down to that same thing. This is a calling more than it is a career. And you really have to have a kind of a special heart to do this. But then you have to be able to look and say, you know, not just about getting involved, but I want to take care of folks. And, you know, and that's what we do. But also being able to do that each other. So.
Absolutely.
For sure. What else we got? How would you say being at, like, what's kind of your next goal moving forward? Do you guys have a next goal moving forward within committee, volunteers, state level, national level?
I'm going to let her go first, and I'm coming behind her because Arkansas has done some really great things the last few years. Brag a little bit.
See, and that's what I'm really bad at. I'm not very good at bragging. I think for me, I don't know that I look ahead as much as I focus on what I'm doing now and what it means for the future. So in Arkansas, I don't know what it's like for other states, but so you do 2 years as president-elect and then 2 years as president and then 2 years as past president. And so that's a 6-year commitment. So I'm in year 3 of the 6-year commitment. And it actually just started. So we have a lot of things we're working on. We're working on some legislative pieces. We learned a pretty good lesson in our last legislative rodeo last year that we're going to take and learn from and change a little bit. You know, for me, I hate to go back to the education piece, but I'm always looking for a way to make that better. And now that we've got the entry-level master's program, I am working to find out how do we maintain engagement for that secondary student that finds sports medicine as a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid, decides that's what they want, and then they go through college, and, you know, they have to do an undergrad now before they go into the master's program. So that's something I want to look at. I want to find ways to maintain that relationship somehow. I think now that I've done the secondary school, and I don't think they'll let me come back. I don't know if you can do that twice in a row or not, but I think that, you know, the next group of people I would really like to work with is the young professional group. I have been watching for years, and I hate to say years, but okay, years. And now that I'm not exactly a young professional anymore, I'll say seasoned.
Seasoned professional.
I'm seasoned. I see things with them that they're so intelligent and they're so driven, but I think sometimes we just need to help direct them mm-hmm. in the right directions. And I think I'd like to be a part of that. I know that if we don't find a way to retain them, we're not going to grow. And I think that's really important for us as professionals, is to find a way to, it's like you mentioned, you know, you have to find ways to mentor others. And if I've done nothing in my life, I have absolutely clung to the concept of mm-hmm. mentorship. You know, I have a lot of former kids that are now athletic trainers, mm-hmm. and it's so much fun to see them when you show up at convention and you've got two or three of your babies sitting out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
That's endearing to me, and I want them to have a better life. I was actually speaking to someone earlier today. She was one of mine, and it broke my heart to hear say that, you know, she's having a baby and she's going to probably get out of athletic training as a result. And I just thought, that is what we have to do. We have to find a way to retain people and show them that that doesn't have to be the end of a road. It actually could very well be the beginning of something completely new.
Right.
So. You know, that's kind of like the same thing that, you know, like I tried to tell you, me and her are on the same path. We, you know, but I think as a state president, if you've done this long enough, you know, it just shows you, because, you know, Arkansas is to our north, but in the south, you know, I think a lot of state presidents will tell you that we share the same problems, because I sit on with CETA with the other state presidents, and it's not, you know, the problems that we have as a profession, you know, you see it's consistent, you know, and so, you know, when you look at that, how do we retain, you know? And so one thing that we've done in Louisiana to address it is that now we have a young professionals and senior students meeting just for them. Mm-hmm. So one day meeting, come in, and it's a lot about social aspect of it, you know, coming in, letting them see their resumes. You know, one of our program directors, Dr. Randy Aldred at University of Louisiana Lafayette, put it together. And I think it was a great event. And, you know, you got to see them start to interact. Because sometimes, that's the one thing, sometimes we forget the process that we got into this. Mm-hmm. And it's how, and what are the best things about this profession that you like? You know, what makes you keep coming to work every day? And then, you know, and so we have to find those things and then try to replicate them and try to show people, hey, that's how it goes. Because, it, you know, the new athletic trainers are coming in, that, you know, I would agree, they're highly intelligent, you know, and very smart, very driven. And, you know, so how do we keep them, and how do we, some of the best parts about, sometimes we forget about our bread and butter of this profession. And a lot of it is that socialization, that hallway CEU, mm-hmm. we call it. That time you're going to just sit with your friends, and that you're going to talk, and you're going to hash out a problem. Hey, look, we got the same problem. How are you dealing with it? You know, Jim talked about it earlier. You know, somebody will call and say, hey, I got this form. But sometimes it's about, part of the enjoyment is working through that process and that problem. But, you know, like things like social media has been a great networking tool, you know, for a lot of young professionals. And that's what's really cool. But so it's retention. I think we all have that deal. How do we continue to inspire those people that are the best and the brightest to stay in this profession? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's just because the professions continue. I see it grow in our district. I'm very fortunate to be a part of a school district for a long period of time. But the reason we've had the success I feel we have is because we've done it together. Mm-hmm. And it started with just two athletic trainers in our district. Now we have 11. And, you know, one at each two of our high schools, as our other high school group, those people that came in says, okay, look, what do we want to get out of this? And now, you know, last year we have associate athletic trainers. We've actually got a third athletic trainer this year. We have athletic trainers for our middle school programs. And that starts from the educational part, the value that people see you as an educator within the school system, how you're mentoring the students that come through your classes and that work with you mm-hmm. in your facility. And then, you know, and the value you have by just doing, being a healthcare provider. So, you know, you have to say, man, there's a hook in there somewhere. That's something, because I could tell you, I love it all. I love teaching. I love being able to inspire other folks. I love taking care of our athletes. But there's got to be one part that you absolutely love, because if you don't have that part, it does, it is tough.
Absolutely.
It is tough. But the reason I'm able to stay in it and do what I do, and the reason why I love being a state president, the reason I love doing being on these committees, is because I get to see people that have commonality. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take long. Me and her path are the same. And we visit a handful of times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that you see that. And you'd be surprised how many people don't take the time to just find that out and realize we're not all that different.
Right.
You know, it might be a regional thing. It might be a setting different. But we're all basically the same thing.
Absolutely.
And that's...
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. And, I would say sitting in the secondary school committee for NATA, there were 10 or 11 of us in a room, and it was awesome to hear that we all had the same problems. But we all had very similar successes. And what was beautiful is to watch some of us who were, or others that were more aggressive or a little more progressive than another, and another person go, you know what, I think we could do that. And all of a sudden you have ideas hatched. And, you know, you mentioned the hallway CEUs. That's where some of the biggest, brightest, best ideas come from. It was, I think, a lot of ways the student aid statement promoted the NATA secondary school pushing for a sports medicine guideline for high schools.
That's right.
Because there were so many different programs hopping up all over the place. And some of them were, they are amazing. They're absolutely phenomenal. And then there were some programs that maybe left a little bit to be desired, but could use some improvement. And they were just all over the place in terms of what they were teaching. And yet at the same time, there would be several that actually were very similar. And so we were able to take this concept of, you know, what if we were to level that playing field and make it to where it was, if a state wanted to, they could adopt a set of guidelines or take them as a base. I know that I worked really hard on those guidelines with a lot of other people. Larry Cooper was instrumental in that. And, you know, it looks a lot like so many other states. In fact, I started with Louisiana. Louisiana's frameworks worked into Arkansas's frameworks, and Arkansas's frameworks are a lot like the national.
You don't need to recreate the wheel if
someone
absolutely has groundwork
not,
we were, of it. I mean,
absolutely, we're all teaching
the same
thing.
Everyone, and I know, you know, Texas has their sports medicine class, and Dennis Hart's worked on that.
Yes.
Really,
wow. So that was just born out of necessity.
There you go.
We all needed something, and that's how it happened.
And, you know, it's intimidating to try to create something.
Absolutely.
And then it's intimidating, or it's even harder when you feel like you're doing something alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of that part. And, you know, I have this saying, you know, I talked to one of the athletic trainers that was in our district that left. But, you know, he did a lot, because there was a lot of turnover at my school before I got there. Of course, they don't ever tell you that
right,
until after you're hired, right?
And after you
but
sign the dotted line,
at some point, someplace, somebody broke the ground. Somebody was that person that pushed that envelope. And it was tough. And eventually, they got tired of even fighting that battle, and they either gave up or they went. But that's the thing, is that going back to what we're talking about, our young professionals, if we're not inspiring the young professionals to keep moving us forward, mm-hmm. keep moving us forward, where are we going to be?
Right.
You know, and by doing the things that the committees, getting back to the committee part and how you get involved, it still goes back. You have to be willing to serve. You have to be willing to do those things, to be actively engaged in your profession, to be able to keep moving it forward. That's the only way it's going to work. And that's the only way it makes it better for everybody else. Because if I did one thing, that's the thing I believe, if I did one thing that at my school that helped make it better for the next person, and that's what, to me, my professional satisfaction came when we hired another athletic trainer at a rival high school. And I see within 4 years, their program is up to where me and Ronnie Harper, which is a Hall of Fame athletic trainer, is a legend in the secondary school setting. You know, Doc Harper has done a bunch for our profession at the secondary, at being a part of that secondary school committee. But to see where he was able to go in 4 years, to have an associate athletic trainer, to have this, you know, to have the courses, to have all the stuff that it took us 15, 20 years to do that, then it's been worth it, right?
Absolutely.
That's what it should be about. It's not about what we're doing for ourselves as much as what we're doing for the profession. Mm-hmm. And because all the other stuff will follow behind that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it'll be there.
Oh, yeah. I think one of the things we've done in SWAT is we have the SWAT of Competency Workshop, and where we prep senior students to take the BOC exam, but part of that, through young professionals, we do a roundtable discussion. So I bring in probably 10 to 15 young professionals, some seasoned professionals as well, And it gives those senior students time to ask questions in a not as formal atmosphere to get those questions going into the real world. And I think that's helped them retention-wise kind of know what they're getting into. And also, I'm very fulfilled and, like, very inspired when I see those senior students that I've talked to walking around in ATA and seeing them now. Like, hey, Annie, I'm so excited. I got this job. I can't wait to get going. And I'm still a young professional myself, and I have two or three classes of my students that I mentored, and seeing them just thrive and survive and just those eyes light up. And that inspires me to continue on as well, because I don't think I realized I was as much of a mentor to them until they came up. I thought I was just their athletic trainer and I helped them out, but they come back two or three years later and say thank you for all you did. And
yeah,
I think a lot of people probably don't realize that people are always looking up to you even if you don't realize it, and taking that and being aware of that.
Absolutely. There are eyes everywhere. And I know, I feel like I actually had something happen this past year. I was in a position where I hadn't taught Spanish in 5 years, and they said, hey, we need a Spanish teacher, so you're going to do that. And I thought, oh, okay. So I just, you know, if you're teaching, you sometimes get in a course where you're not as comfortable with it, or it's new and you're having to, you know, kind of relearn some things and do it differently. And I just felt like I was chasing myself the whole time. I just wasn't where I wanted to be. And truth be told, I was probably fine, but in my mind, I'm easily the most judgmental on myself. But at the end of the year, you know, I looked back and I thought, well, I did a good job. I could have done better. And I, you know, you kind of self-evaluate. And I had a young girl leave a note on my desk, and I will never forget this kid. All those times when I felt like I hadn't connected with her. You know, you have kids that you know you connect with, and you know you'll see them again, and you know you have that relationship with. But then you have kids that you try to reach, but you just don't feel like you did.
Absolutely.
And so I had this young lady, and I just had a note on the desk. I didn't even see her drop the note. But I opened it, and I'm reading it, and I'm trying to figure out who it's from, because I don't recognize, I cannot. And when I get to the end and I see this young lady's name, I realize that all those days that she had walked in, sometimes she was late, always a smile, never really involved, but she was kind and pleasant. I enjoyed having her in class, but she wasn't necessarily a top. She wasn't a bottom, but I just didn't feel like I connected with her. She wrote the most beautiful letter about how much she enjoyed coming into class, because she knew that she would learn something more about the world that day, and it made it that much, she said, it made it that much more enjoyable. She goes, I hate to come to school, but I like it on B days because I get to come to your class.
That's awesome.
I thought, you know, if that's not a testament to not realizing the connections you make with people when you're not looking, you know, people are watching our every single move. And as a professional, I would say that's true. When you are a seasoned professional, you have a professional responsibility to kind of set an example.
Absolutely.
At all times, because people are always watching you. And, you know, that's what I enjoy, is knowing that I have the ability to connect with others and help make their life a little bit better. That's what I enjoy.
And, you know, I have this, you know, I give all my little analogies and my euphemisms and everything else. But one of the things that I really think I want, one of the neat things I did as a state president is I went around our state and visited all our regions and talked to any other little town hall meetings to find out, even before I took over, what went on. What do we need to do professionally for everybody? And you get to talk to folks like that. But one of the things is really my core belief, and it comes from being a teacher and as an athletic trainer. But, you know, the greatest thing, no matter what level you're at or what setting you're at, our core of responsibilities, we're taking care of people's most prized possession, and that's their children. And when you're at if you're at a middle school level, a high school level, college, whatever, professional, clinic, outreach, however, but you're taking care of somebody, and even if you're dealing with an adult population, you can taking care of somebody's mom, somebody's wife, somebody's husband, however you want to break it down. But that's really the thing that, to me, that when I really think about anything we do, right, is that we're taking people's most prized possession. And I get those notes, and that's really a revelation when you get that opportunity. But how many times do you think that happened and somebody didn't write that note? Or how many times, you know, for me, it's that kid. It's not always that superstar kid, but how many of those kids that you took care of or you did something for that you might never know until 10 years down the road that they'll come back and say, hey, you know what? You made a difference. And the neat thing for me is being at a school as long as I have a community base, it's now is the athlete's children that I get to start to take care of. And that's really neat.
That's awesome.
And you know, so when you start talking about within a school system and educating people about what you do, but man, my job has got exponentially easier because I've gotten older and been at one place, and that you hopefully that you said, hey, you know what? I've done right by these trying to do the best job I can do, because my job is to take care of people's most prized possession. And whether it's in the classroom or in the training room or on the field, that's the most thing. So if I ever have a takeaway that I tell people, is to carry your own flag, make sure you're actively engaged, but also realize that you're taking something for somebody that will never be able to replace. And I learned that difficultly, honestly, because I have two sisters that have both lost children, and to see that impact it has on a family and on a person. And so that's kind of one of those things. So when I talk to young professionals, I talk to other athletic trainers, I think people understand that.
Right. And I think athletes don't care how much you know, or they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Absolutely.
And so I mean, that's kind of something I go by in my young career as well, is making sure the athletes know that you care about them, and the parents know that they know that you care about their kids too, and that open communication, and from there develop that trusting relationship, and from there you can do your skills and take care of the
athletes.
Once
you have that trust, it takes a long time to earn it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It takes a short time to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have it, it's amazing what can happen. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how people will be engaged in what you're doing. And that's what happened in our school board, how we were able to get more and more athletic trainers. Because I could promise you, going in front of a school board, that people that were on that school board, that you took care of their children, and they knew that, they really understood what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go through a lot of analytics about what it is, because they knew at the core that you had that servant's heart and that where your heart really was.
Absolutely. Well, awesome. Well, we'll probably wrap it up unless you guys have anything else. If you want to say,
I just feel like I'm very blessed to be sitting next to Kendra.
Absolutely,
she's a superstar.
No,
I'm just I'm just a guy that was sitting on the couch. They brought me in.
If you guys want to let the listeners know the best way to get in contact with you, email, phone, however you want, so they can get in contact with you, and then we'll wrap it up.
Mine's easy. It's lata president@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to get in touch with me.
Perfect.
See, we're behind that, but we're getting there. We're gonna have those generic emails here pretty soon, but for now you'll just have to use my school email, and that's at kmathis@bentonvillek12.org, bentonvillek12.org.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, really appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.